Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman on this Sports on a Sunday morning. Glad you're along from the Stifel Sports Studio here in downtown St. Louis. And hopefully you can join us on CamWax or on our Facebook or YouTube channels, and feel free to comment there. Of course, it is Championship Sunday in the NFL here this afternoon. You've got the NFC Championship up first, Washington and Philadelphia. That comes up at 2 o'clock. And then at 5:30, and you'll hear it right here on CamWax, it's the AFC Championship. Of course, CamWax is your home of the Chiefs as the Chiefs try to get back to the Super Bowl as they face the Buffalo Bills. So a good one coming up this later this evening. And we're pleased to be joined by Jay Binkley, who is the Chiefs postgame host on 96.5 The Fan, another Odyssey station, and covers the Chiefs, covers the NFL. Jay, thanks for some time this Sunday.
Hey, no problem. How you guys doing today?
Doing good, doing well. Obviously, a huge matchup coming up later this evening, and I'll get to that. I want to start with the NFC and just kind of your thoughts on Washington and Philadelphia. Washington making this nice run with Jaden Daniels and a chance to perhaps get to the Super Bowl for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, and it really shows you when they hire the right coach to go with the quarterback, a coach that's won before. And Jaden Daniels is amazing talent. The sky's the limit for him. And this isn't just hindsight. There was a lot of people that were Jaden Daniels instead of Caleb Williams. But for some reason, the Bears don't learn. They took Trubisky instead of Mahomes. They took Caleb Williams instead of Jaden Daniels. I guess the Bears are going to be the Bears, but an incredible talent to watch. But Philadelphia is just on this roll. They're the type of team, like the Chiefs. They get in these games, close games, they find a way to win. They won't enamor you sometimes with their stats. They play solid defense. It's just a well-built football team, and they just continue to win. I think a lot of people are probably going for Washington. Jaden Daniels, a lot of fun to watch. I'm rooting for Washington in this game because there's nothing against Philadelphia. It's just that they played the 49. If the Chiefs happen to win the night against the Bills, lots to be decided. They have to win the game. But tired of seeing the Eagles. Saw them a couple years ago. We've seen the 49ers twice in the Super Bowl. So it'd be nice to, I guess, get some new competition on one side.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. And I think sort of the fun pick would be Washington and just a chance to see a new team, exactly as you said. But I do think Jaden Daniels is fun to watch. 4 touchdowns, doesn't have an interception in his 2 games. Almost 600 yards in those 2 games passing for the Washington quarterback. Jay Binkley's with us. He covers the Chiefs for 96.5 The Fan, hosts the postgame show. So you've got the Chiefs and the Bills coming up at 5:30 this afternoon, or this evening, I guess. Another great matchup, obviously, of two of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the NFL, and a matchup that we've seen in the playoffs now several times. This one has all the makings of another classic game.
Yeah, it does. It's already the second most ever between two quarterbacks facing each other in the postseason. And both these guys are young. I'm sure it'll happen many times in the future. For the Chiefs, I think it's about just getting this game done. I mean, this whole narrative nationally on every show, the Chiefs get all the calls. It was pretty embarrassing. Adam Schefter earlier today, when he points out how the NFL is going to look at this and how the Chiefs don't get the roughing the passer penalties and all this. For an NFL mouthpiece to tweet something like that out, pretty unprofessional, to be honest with you. There's former Chiefs, former All-Pros, say, what is Adam Schefter doing? He's the mouthpiece for the NFL. The NFL uses the Chiefs, and I don't think he realizes it, but his network is responsible for the Chiefs having the highest ratings ever on an ESPN game was the Chiefs. Four of the top five programs nationally were the Chiefs. The Chiefs were the first ever game on Amazon. They were the first ever game on Netflix. They played back-to-back Christmases. They played three games in 11 days. They were the first playoff game ever on Peacock. And to throw stuff like that out there is embarrassing. I know the Chiefs have to do certain media obligations, but the way that the national media has really treated the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes this week, thinking that all the calls go against the Chiefs, that's been the big narrative. Watch the NFL. Watch football. Watch what happened when the Rams ripped Sam Darnold's face mask off and it wasn't called for face mask. Ended up being a safety against the Vikings. Go back and watch how these things happen. The NFL officiating isn't good. And whether the Chiefs have more penalties or not, how about the fact they've been in seven straight AFC title games? Maybe they're just more disciplined than any other football team. Maybe that's why they win games, because they're a disciplined football team at the end. Maybe it's not about the refs. I could give you plenty of examples. Anybody can give plenty of examples of the Chiefs not getting the call going their direction, including a game against the Buffalo Bills last year that they called offensive offsides against the Bills, where Travis Kelce laddered the ball across the field to Kadarius Toney. They would have beaten the Bills. But they called offensive offsides, which they never call in the NFL. They never call that because receivers always check. Am I offsides or not? They look over the officials and they check with me. So it's funny. This narrative is getting ridiculous. I mean, it's ad nauseum. The ref talk is taken away from what should be a really good football game.
Yeah, no, I think that's that last point is exactly it, right? You're talking about, again, as we mentioned, two dynamic quarterbacks. Two dynamic franchises right now, the two best franchises in the AFC, and we're another classic meeting to go to the Super Bowl, and yet the focus is outside of actually the game itself.
Look, you're in the Midwest. You know how it is. You know, St. Louis, a lot like Kansas City. Why would 31 other owners, you know how these egos go out of control with NFL owners. Why would 31 other NFL owners say, you know what, we want the refs to give the Chiefs wins. We want this team in middle America, flyover country. We want them to get the advantages. We want the Chiefs to win every game. I'm sure all the other NFL owners came together and said, you know what, let's do this. And the funny thing is, I don't know if you remember this, but the Mahomes' first year, they lost an AFC title game in overtime. And what had happened? Tom Brady won the coin toss, goes down and scores a touchdown, and they win the game. And nobody really complained about it. Fast forward 2 years from that, the Bills played the Chiefs. It goes to overtime. Chiefs win the coin toss. They go down and score a touchdown. Bills fans didn't like that. NFL fans didn't like that. Guess what happened? The next year, the rules changed.
That's right. Teams.
Yeah, but people don't forget. People forget. This happened to the Chiefs 2 years prior to that when Tom Brady did it to the Chiefs. But no one wants to talk about that or remember that. But yet when it happens with the Chiefs against the Bills, they changed the rules, which, you know, that's just the way it goes. And this Josh DeBow, AP, is an AP writer. It just spells it out, like how the Chiefs have let more penalties than anybody else since Mahomes has been quarterback. He spells it out perfectly, but nobody wants to pay attention to it. It's just funny. There's a reporter from Buffalo that came to town, and he took a picture that there's going to be AFC champions merchandise if the Chiefs win. You know, they do this in all the cities. They don't do it beforehand. They'll print the stuff out because they want to sell their merchandise, right?
Of course.
And they took a picture and said, if the Chiefs win, we'll sell the merchandise. And he took a picture for clickbait to try to fire up the Buffalo fans that, hey, the Chiefs are thinking they're going to win. I just did a quick Google search, and they're doing it in Western New York. They said, if the Bills win, you can come get our merchandise. They're doing the exact same thing the Chiefs are. All teams do it. But a real journalist, you know, decides to fire up the Buffalo crowd saying the Chiefs are planning on doing it. It's just comical how this thing, I just can't wait for this game to begin.
Well, Jay Binkley, what do, we're talking about the game, what do the Chiefs have to do to get back to the Super Bowl, to get to their third straight Super Bowl?
Well, when it gets to the postseason, things kind of change. Although, last week, DeAndre Hopkins' streak stopped. He had to catch every single game he's ever played in the NFL. He still has the active streak during the regular season, and Kelce's number two. But they didn't throw to wide receivers last week. Xavier Worthy was the only receiver to catch a pass last week. It was tight ends doing the bulk of the loads. But Dalton Kincaid, the outstanding tight end for the Bills, didn't play the first time the Chiefs played the Bills. He's playing today. The Chiefs are one of the top two worst teams in the NFL at stopping the tight end. So that's definitely an advantage. They do lose Taylor Rapp, the safety, who is real instrumental in the Bills kind of shutting down the Chiefs passing attack. And he's not playing today, so that bodes well for the Chiefs. But, you know, great game. And, you know, it's the gamesmanship. It's getting to the postseason. Mahomes is 29 years old. He's tied with Joe Montana with 16 playoff wins. That's the second most ever. So one more win, and he's going to be less than 30. And if he wins, he's going to be sitting only with Tom Brady as far as postseason wins. And Andy Reid sits just four games behind Bill Belichick in postseason wins. Just four. So there's a lot on the line.
Unreal when you think about it. I think that both those points are probably probably lost on a lot of fans, not realizing what those two have done, what Mahomes and Andy Reid have done.
It's crazy. The Chiefs decided to rest some players that final week against Denver. And, oh, man, everybody came out nationally, and, oh, the Chiefs are going to be rusty. They forget how good Andy Reid is off a bye. Not only that, but when you play seven straight AFC title games, you play a season longer of football than anybody else. Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones, he says, they played more football than anybody. When you go to the AFC title game, and Mahomes has been there every year, he's been a starter all 7 years, and his only two losses in the AFC title game came in overtime, or he's gone to the Super Bowl and won, or gone to the Super Bowl and lost, you play a bunch of games. So if they're going to give him a rest, so be it. You know, I have to remind the Bills fans, Josh Allen played one play the final week of the season. It was against the Patriots. They lost the game. Josh Allen played one play, and that was only to keep his streak alive of consecutive starts. So there was a hidden motive for him to do it. He starts in that game. The Rams rested basically everybody. All these teams do it. It's a normal thing, but the Chiefs do it, and all of a sudden it's the end of the world because they're doing it. It's crazy what goes on. And then a couple weeks ago, the official comes over to Josh Allen on the sideline and apologizes to him. If that would have happened to Mahomes, you would have seen a total and complete meltdown online.
Jay Binkley, final thing for you. How's this one turn out this evening?
You know, if this was in Buffalo, I would really like Buffalo's chances, to be honest with you. But it is an offensive line that likes to communicate. Josh Allen likes to change things up a bit, but it's going to be incredibly loud and hard to do at Arrowhead Stadium. I like the Chiefs like they always do in a close one by 3 points. For some reason in the playoffs, they step up with the Buffalo Bills. So, yeah, if this game was in Buffalo, I'd have a different outlook on it. But because it's in Kansas City, I'll go with the Chiefs.
Well, Jay, here's to a great one tonight. Have a great show yourself. Enjoy the game. Keep all the noise out. And we appreciate taking some time today.
Oh, my friend, the Bills fans are already infiltrating everywhere. The Bills Mafia, they're my favorite sports bar. Oh, man, it's like New York plates everywhere. Let's just get this game on, man.
Jay, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Bye.
Jay Binkley with us from 96.5 The Fan, Kansas City, another fine Odyssey station, chatting about the AFC Championship game tonight. He likes the Chiefs by three over the Bills coming up tonight. That's a 5:30 Siteman Cancer Center game time tonight right here on Camo X. You can hear it here, of course, this evening. More to come here on the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning program. I'm going to talk a little bit about my Cougars. My Cougars this side. There it is. My Cougars coming up on the other side of the break. Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman this Sunday morning. We're coming back. It is Sports on a Sunday morning on Camo X. Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman on this Sports on a Sunday morning. It's the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio here from downtown St. Louis. Glad you're along. Just to reach out to one of our commenters asking about not hearing from the Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, just coming off the winter warmup where, of course, we heard from Mo several times talking about, you know, how things are going and, you know, what the status is as far as Nolan Arenado. That's what everybody seems to be talking about and asking about and wondering about. But we figured it was a good time to just forego our chat, normal chat with John Mozeliak. Of course, you're going to hear him all the time as the season gets closer and throughout the next baseball season. So there'll be no shortage of times to hear from John Mozeliak and, of course, Oliver Marmol as well. So all of those things will resume, will continue. But coming off the winter warm-up, figured we could do some other stuff here on this Sports on a Sunday morning program. So hopefully that's all right. Speaking of doing some other stuff, talking about some other stuff, I did say I want to mention my SIUE Cougars, which is where I am full-time, which is, I call their games. I'm also doing a lot of communication work for the Cougars and for the athletics department. But when you're talking about the local programs that are A, on the rise, B, having success, C, just a ton of fun as far as their games go, I think you cannot overlook the SIUE Cougars. And I think I can say that somewhat objectively. I think others would say that. Let me put it that way. Because this is a very good team from a basketball standpoint and has been for now three seasons. This is a team that won 19 games 2 years ago, 17 games last year. This is still a relatively new Division I program, making the jump from Division II to Division I in 2008, and they had not had but mild success at best up until the 2022-23 season, 2 years ago when they won the 19 games, won a game for the first time in the conference tournament. They repeated that last year, winning a game in the conference tournament and then finishing with 17 wins. So back-to-back winning seasons, first of all, at that level for the first time is a significant accomplishment for that program and for the head coach, Brian Baroni. When we talked to Josh Schertz, he was talking about Gibson Jimerson and the fact that Gibson Jimerson was loyal to the program, had been a pillar in the Billikens program. Well, SIUE can boast the same sort of thing. They had twin players, Lamar and Shamar Wright, that were there for 5 years graduating last year. They have a player this year in Rayshon Taylor who is in his fifth year in the program. He was injured his first year, so he's playing his fourth year from Collinsville, Illinois. He's the all-time leading scorer at Collinsville, Illinois. He's now the all-time leading scorer in the Division I era for SIUE basketball. He is probably going to finish his career as the number two all-time scorer overall at SIUE. He leads the Ohio Valley Conference in scoring. He's on a string right now of five consecutive games of at least 20 points scoring. SIUE has won seven of their last eight games. They're 7-3 in the OVC, one game back of the lead in the OVC after yesterday getting a comeback win to beat Morehead State at First Community Arena. And I spoke about the fun it is to go to games because the atmosphere has transformed at First Community Arena. And that is a direct result of a new athletic director in Andrew Gavin and kind of some new initiatives. But if you haven't been to a game at First Community Arena on the SIUE campus, or I would say if it's been 3 years, 4 years, or longer than that, you wouldn't even recognize it because they've transformed the arena into an arena, first of all, from a big gym. And they did that when they moved to Division I. And then a couple of years back, made a whole area they call Eddyville, where you can eat, you can drink, you can have some fun. There's a whole kid zone upstairs. It's on the mezzanine level. You can buy all your Cougar gear. But more than anything, it has become a community gathering place. It is a place where you can stand and watch the game. You can hang out and watch the game. You do not have to grab your food, grab your drink, and go sit down. So it's a much more social event. And I think that Cougar fans and folks that have come out to games have really enjoyed that. And I think that the players have really enjoyed the increase in attendance and the improved atmosphere around the game. And of course, a lot of that is because it's really good basketball right now. And it's a lot of fun to hang out and be able to just kind of very casually enjoy the game with some good food and some good drink. But there's some really good basketball to go along with it. Like any other program, and I mentioned this to Coach Schertz as well, conference season is a different beast. It's a different animal. The games are more intense. The coaches know each other. The players know each other. In the Ohio Valley's case, you play each other twice, so home and away. And that right there ramps up the intensity. And now you're talking about a team that is a legitimate contender in the Ohio Valley Conference for a regular season title, and then ultimately for a tournament title, which would then mean the very first Division I NCAA appearance for SIUE. I think that those are all things that are on the table, and it makes for all of that together makes for a lot of fun. And again, just a great basketball atmosphere at SIUE. So I would implore you to come out to First Community Arena. If for nothing else, come out and support Rayshon Taylor, who is, again, from Collinsville. He's the leading scorer there. He brings a ton of folks from the Collinsville area. There is no shortage of K-Hawk fans. There's a lot of purple in the crowd because they're big K-Hawk fans. But I would say anybody who is interested in local basketball, this is the guy to support and to come out and to get behind. It's an easy program to get behind. He is an easy player to get behind. And it's a lot of fun, as I said. So, again, yes. Am I biased? Yes. I'm rocking the Cougars logo, of course, today. But that is that's my rant on the Cougars and coming out. And, you know, the local media has done a great job recently coming out and really supporting the Cougars. And I think that all has to do with the atmosphere there, but also the really good basketball that is there as well. We still have Bernie Mikulas coming up to wrap up the show in the very last segment. There's a lot of good local basketball going on right now. Lindenwood dropped a game yesterday, but they've been playing really well at home. You heard Coach Schertz mention that the Billikens are 10-1. SIUE is 9-1 at home. Mizzou is 15-0 at home this year. So there is no shortage of really good basketball in the St. Louis area, in the surrounding areas. The Illini are nationally ranked. They've got a tough one coming up this afternoon at State Farm Arena in Champaign. And as I mentioned, I'm going to ask Bernie Mikulas a little bit about the head coach at Mizzou and why I think that that has made a huge difference on the program. And just the word that keeps coming to mind is refreshing. So we'll get into that with Bernie Mikulas. We can also talk about the NFL championship games. And we'll visit with him about the Baseball Hall of Fame as well. And I'm sure he has some feelings on that, and specifically about the fact that Ichiro just missed being inducted unanimously in the Baseball Hall of Fame. So there's plenty more to come here on the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning program. Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio here in downtown St. Louis. We'll be right back on Camo X. Back in on the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning program. It is Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman here on this Sunday morning. Happy to have everyone around, everyone on. I just got a text from a friend who said, can we have Scott Jagow on now for equal time after we had Jay Binkley and his rant on the Chiefs? He was quite passionate about that. It's like the politics rule, right? You've got to get equal and fair opportunity. So I don't know. Scott might be. I did warn Scott that we might get a little bit of that from Jay Binkley. I knew he was going to get fired up on the Chiefs. We know Scott is easily to get fired up on the Bills. In fact, he was in here right after the interview was over he gave us his equal and fair time. We'll put it that way. So it's great. I look forward to the AFC Championship game tonight as well. And I hope it's a great game. I'll be honest. I'm rooting for the Bills. I want to see the Bills do it. I'd rather see the Bills than a three-peat. We'll see. So I hope that doesn't alienate too many Chiefs fans who are tuning in here this afternoon. I thought I'd offer my thoughts on the Cardinals, and I have before, but I will offer again. And I'm more encouraged after the winter warm-up, and after hearing from some of the players, and after talking to some of the players. I'm not saying that we should have any kind of unreasonable expectations. In fact, Scott asked me about this earlier this morning when we did our live sports hit during Total Information Sunday. Just what should the expectations be for Cardinals fans? And I don't think the expectations should be doom and gloom, because I mean, look, how different right now is this team from last year? The answer is it's not. It's not a ton different. The makeup of this team is not a ton different than what it was last year. And if the Cardinals don't move Nolan Arenado, it's going to be virtually the same. You're without Paul Goldschmidt, obviously, but it was not a great year for Paul Goldschmidt offensively. So when you look at the lineup, you have to feel like it's going to be similar and maybe better than it was last year. Wilson Contreras, for a full year, who was your best offensive player when he was healthy last year. And you're talking about his average roughly 260, maybe 25 and 80, whatever, as far as production goes. And that's whether he is at first or he's DHing more or he's doing some catching. When you look at the catchers, you either have Herrera or Páez. And I think it's a where's the upside better? Is it Herrera from an offensive side, the upside is better, but from Pahe's, the defensive side is better. But where are each of them going to improve the other side? So where is Herrera? How much is Herrera going to improve his defense? How much is Pahe's going to improve his offense? And I think specifically his offensive consistency is the question there. And with the way the Cardinals are likely to be structured, you're not worried about it. Doesn't have to be one or the other. It can have a lot to do with the rest of the lineup. And this is not an original thought. I've heard Kevin Wheeler talk about this exact thing, that the way the lineup is structured, the way the matchups are structured, is what is going to allow you to decide who is catching that particular afternoon. But the rest of the lineup, with, again, if it's Arenado, great. If it's not, it's Nolan Gorman probably getting the majority of the days at third base. We know what his potential is, what he's capable of. The 30 home runs as he hit a couple of years ago. Last year, not good. And you're likely going to have to put up with 200 strikeouts. But can he improve on the average on his overall offense? That'll be the question there. I want to see Jordan Walker play almost every day in the outfield. I think that this is the opportunity to really see what you have, not start him for a week and then send him down for the majority of the season as he's done the last 2 years. And his particular outlook from him personally is very high. His confidence is very high, and I like that about Jordan Walker. I think your outfield also has Lars Nootbaar and Brendan Donovan, probably Sejacy at second base. As we talked with Wheels earlier today, do you see a little bit of J.J. Weatherholt at the end of the year? Maybe. So lineup-wise, again, it's not a huge worry to me. And as I said, could it potentially be better? Yes, depending on what some of these pieces do in that lineup. From a rotation standpoint, you're really in good shape as it's structured right now with Sonny Gray, Miles Michaelis, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante. And then that fifth spot, you could have a lot of folks in there. We don't know what it's like to have a full season of a healthy Steven Matz because the Cardinals haven't seen it. But you have Michael McGreevy, who had a full season in Memphis, had a great last 15 days, whatever it was, 2 weeks, 15 days with the Cardinals. Gordon Graceffo made his debut last year, so he's in the mix. How long does it take for Quinn Matthews to be in the mix, whether it's in the bullpen, probably at least to start in the bullpen. And then when you talk about that bullpen and the pieces that you have back, starting with Ryan Helsley, JoJo Romero, Ryan Fernandez, Riley O'Brien, again, someone we didn't get a chance to see from a full season standpoint. You saw a great spring training. He was hurt after opening day, and he didn't come back till August. And admittedly, himself, he admits, it wasn't his best, and that's to be expected when you miss the majority of the season. So the bullpen feels like it's in really good shape. So I just think that from an expectation standpoint, I don't think it's going to be doom and gloom, and I think it potentially could be better than folks expect. So that's where I'm at this point on January 26th. That could all change when we go to spring training, and things might change, and maybe you don't have a Nolan Arenado, and maybe there are other moves to come, because John Mozeliak has teased that if Arenado goes, then maybe there are moves to follow. So we will all watch and see as that goes. We've got the big dog, Bernie Miklas, coming up to round out this show here on this Sunday morning. A variety of topics to get into with Bernie, and I'm happy to do that, excited to do that on the other side of the break. Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman from the Stiefel Sports Studio here in St. Louis. It's Sports on a Sunday morning on Camo X. Joe Potty in for Tom Ackerman in the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio here this morning on a Sports on a Sunday morning. We're getting set to chat with the big dog. Bernie Miklas will be joining us here momentarily as we wrap up this show, as he usually does. And a couple things that I'll get into with him coming up when we do get a chance to connect with Bernie here. Countdown to opening day will come up a little bit later today as well, so you'll get some more baseball talk coming up there. Bernie is with us, and he is, as always, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Bernie, how's it going this Sunday morning?
Joe, I'm doing good. I apologize. You know me, I think people know by now I'm kind of a numbers nerd. So before I came on, I wanted to look a couple things up. And the next thing I know, it's 11:45. I'm like, oh, okay. Sorry about that.
I understand. That's how it goes. Hey, I want to start somewhere maybe a little different because I want to talk a little bit about Mizzou basketball. Off to obviously a great, well, more than a great start, obviously, this season. But I find it refreshing, and I've had a couple of chances to interview and talk with Coach Gates, and I find it refreshing that here's a guy that has, you know, laid out his program 3 years ago, had a great year, then knew it was going to be a downturn, maybe not as much as it was last year, and then right back in the mix, rightfully so here this year, but a guy that is as even-keeled and as thoughtful as he is, and when I say it's refreshing, and I'm looking at like Dan Hurley and his antics on the sideline, and I'm looking at Mick Cronin complaining about how dare they send UCLA to the East Coast on several occasions when, of course, his institution was one of them that chose to join the Big Ten. It's refreshing to have a guy like Dennis Gates at the helm of this program.
There's no doubt about it. He's very, very impressive. And Joe, I wish I could quantify this because I know there's other examples of this. Okay, so I'm sort of viewing it a little bit through Homer glasses, although I try to be objective. But I don't recall a team, and again, I know there have been teams. I cannot recall a team that, you know, in a major conference, a power conference, went 0-18 one year and immediately come back the next season. And right now they're third in the SEC standings, the toughest conference by far in America. And let's take just a moment to pause and think about how extraordinary that is. I mean, how does that happen? You've got to be an excellent coach to get the players who were part of that last year's team. And of course he's added talent, but you've got to be an excellent coach to pick up the pieces and put it all back together and to do it in a way where you are one of the best teams in the best conference in college basketball. It's just an incredibly impressive coaching performance by Dennis Gates.
Yeah, no question about it. They've got two top five wins on their resume. They're 15-0 at home this season, and like I said, it's refreshing to see a guy like that as opposed to some of the guys that I think are looking, you know, just to create news themselves.
Yeah, he's always composed, to your point, you know, which I didn't address. He's always composed. I mean, no part of his brain or his persona, it never goes on the fritz. You can just see him processing everything. He's really a compelling presence, physical presence on the sideline.
Okay, switch gears. Baseball Hall of Fame announces three inductees in Ichiro Suzuki, Billy Wagner, CC Sabathia. And of course, the story being Ichiro comes up one short of being a unanimous pick. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're not a Baseball Hall of Fame voter, right? NFL, yes, but not baseball.
I was for a long time, and I kind of withdrew from the process because I didn't like the way it was going. I might become a Hall of Fame voter again in the future. Excellent. I know that's a weird answer.
No, but that's cool.
That's the answer. Yeah. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just with Ichiro coming up one vote short, is that grandstanding? Is it, you know, just wanting to be the contrarian of the group? Where do you put that?
I don't know, because we don't know who the voter is,
right,
and he or she hasn't obviously divulged their reason. Sometimes, and when I was voting, I was in this position. Sometimes when you are concerned about there's a candidate you really believe in who may be falling off the ballot if he doesn't get a certain amount of votes this time, or someone who's moving closer to get what you need to get in, sometimes you will think, well, can I make a trade-off here? Ichiro's going to get, you know, 98, 99% of the vote, so he's in. So maybe I can use that vote and put it to better use on behalf of another player. Now, if that's the reason why the person did it, I still think it's kind of stupid in a way, because it's like, listen, if a guy who is just an absolute slam dunk Hall of Famer. Vote for the person. I mean, like, that's not the time to game the ballot. But I do understand the thinking behind that. And I know some people say, well, that, you know, come on, you don't make excuses. I'm not making excuses. I'm trying to explain that maybe one reason, if we're looking for the reason, that could be the reason, you know, just by wanting to take that vote and give it to someone else, not to slight Ichiro. Maybe this voter thought, well, he's not going to be 100% anyway. So it's we'll never know until the person comes out in public and explains the vote.
I appreciate the perspective because, like I said, we've not been in that position myself, obviously, and obviously our listeners haven't been. And I appreciate kind of getting a little insight on what that thought process is like. That's exactly why I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, the people that I despise, just maybe not as human beings, but in this process, are the people that send in blank ballots.
Right.
Because number one, you can't convince me that there's no one worthy of a vote. There's always somebody worthy of a vote. And number two, so that is grandstanding. That is trying to get attention. The second thing is those ballots count.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're talking about, say, Billy Wagner this year, who was close, but it wasn't a certainty. So if a knucklehead sends in a blank ballot, that actually takes away from Billy Wagner's chances to make the Hall of Fame. Now, and that applies to everyone else who is right around that 75% threshold or might be a close call. It's an incredibly selfish thing to do, a blank ballot.
Yeah, that makes great sense. NFL championship games today. Your feelings on both NFC, AFC. Of course, we've got the opportunity in the NFC to see a Washington team get in that hasn't been there in 30-plus years.
You know, Washington's fearless, and Jaden Daniels is amazing, and hardly a scoop there. I think Washington's got a chance to keep this thing really close. You know, the Phillies, excuse me, well, I can call them Philly. Philly had a 4-0 turnover edge on Green Bay and had a scramble in the fourth quarter to kick a couple field goals to put Green Bay away. And then in the game last week when they advanced against the Rams, a West Coast team coming into snow and frigid weather, Philadelphia had a 2-0 turnover margin in that one and had to hold on the final possession to win by 6. My point being that even with Saquon Barkley, that team is vulnerable. I don't know why. Their defense is really good. Jalen Hurts has not been the same since the concussion, and he also banged up a knee last week. I'm going to respect Philly and say they're going to win one close, but if I were a gambling man, I'd take Washington in the points. But the straight-up winner, I'm going to have to go with Philly because this will be a pretty tough test for Washington. Their other two postseason games, this will be the toughest team they played. And then the AFC, it's as simple as this. The Chiefs have been vulnerable all year, but I just can't go against the Chiefs as far as picking a winner when Patrick Mahomes is 16-1 in the postseason against every quarterback who's not named Tom Brady. 16-1, right? So it's just – and I think Buffalo's defense is vulnerable. They have problems at safety. They may not be as healthy as they need to be in that secondary. And it'll be interesting because I think the Bills will actually try to run. They've been lining up with 6 offensive linemen and going into a power package. They run the ball really, really well. And it's interesting because the thing that people forgot about last week's game is Josh Allen's a wonderful player, and he did rush for 2 touchdowns. But they beat Baltimore with him throwing for only 127 yards. Not that he's terrible. It just shows they can actually decide to punish the other team on the ground, and Josh Allen's a team player, and he doesn't care about passing for 300 yards. Any way that's best to win is good for him. So I could be wrong. I think Buffalo's going to come out and try to get physical and try to do it on the ground for the most part.
Bernie Mikolas with us here. You can hear him obviously on plenty of shows here with the DGS on Sports on a Sunday every week, and of course on the Gas House Gang, which is at noon on the KMOX Sports socials. Monday specifically is when the entire gang gets together. Bernie, always a treat for me to get a chance to visit with you, man.
Joe, always good to hook up with you on Sports on a Sunday morning. And you take care. Have a great day. Everybody enjoy the football if you're watching. And We'll be back, be back on KMOX, as Joe pointed to, all the time. So look forward to gabbing again with everybody. Take care.
Always good to do it. That is Bernie Miklas with us here, wrapping up a great Sports on a Sunday Morning. My thanks to Bernie. Thanks to Wheels. Thanks to Jay Binkley. Thanks to Tom Stillman. Big thanks to Drew Young for putting it all together. Tom Ackerman will be back in this spot next week. And I will talk to you at least on Friday morning on Total Information AM. Lots of baseball coming up here. Countdown to opening day is coming up this afternoon. So keep it here on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.